Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Horius Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the very top of Daf Yud Gimel, Par Koyin Moshuach Upar Hoido, the Mishnah mentioned that if you have these two types of korbonos standing in front of you, and you're a Koyin and have to choose which one to process, so you're to process the Par Koyin Moshiach first. Mino hani mili. The Gemara seeks a source for the teaching of the Mishnah. Before we go further, let's glance at the Rashi at the very top of the page. Parshas Par Koyin Moshiach Ksiva Bereisha. The section in the Torah dealing with the Par of the Koyin Godol is written first. V'hodar Ksiva, and following it is Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibor. The Pasuk says, V'osel Par. Kasher also the parachatos. The pasuk is referring to the processing of the par ha'ido, the par of the tzibur, when the Sanhedrin erred in their legal ruling, and it says that you shall process it as you processed the parachatos. Now, what's the reference in the pasuk to parachatos? The hainu le par koyin moshiach. So the Torah is instructing that the way that you deal, the way that you process the par ho'edo, is the way that you would have processed the par koyin moshiach, which was featured earlier. Lomalei l'medav v'kosav. Why does the pasuk go on to say kasher soraf is par ho'rishon? That would seem to be redundant. I already know that the way you deal with the par ho'edo is the way you dealt with the earlier par, the par ho'rishon, the first one. That was already included in the earlier part of the pasuk that said Ka'asher also lepar hachatos. So we now turn to the Gemara. The Tana Rabbana, we have a Tanaic source, and in our marking system, we frame off all parts of the Gemara that contain Tanaic literature, like Mishnayos and Brisos that the Gemara quotes, to set it apart from the rest of the Gemara. As you can see, the upper part of this page has a few of these sources framed off. So we continue in the Gemara, in the Tanaic source. This pasuk is from the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, from the public par that's brought on the occasion that the Sanhedrin erred in their psak. It says, V'soraf oisoi kasher soraf es ha-par ha-rishon. That it shall be burnt the way the first par was burnt. The first par was a reference to the Par Koyin Moshiach, which was written earlier in the parsha. Ma tamad lo ma-ha-rishon. What is the benefit or the necessity of saying this, of using the term Harishon? As we saw in the Rashi, we already know that the way that the Par Helam Dover is to be processed is the way the earlier mentioned Par was done. Why does this have to be repeated? So the answer is, Shiehei Rishon Koidem LePar Ho'edo B'chol Maisav. That the Par Koyin Moshiach is to be processed before the Par Helam Dover. And that's what the Mishnah was teaching, that if you have two of them in front of you, you have a Par Koyin Moshiach and you have a Par Eido, you shall process the Par Koyin Moshiach first. Tonu Rabbonon, Par Koyin Moshiach u'Par Eido omdim. Notice we have a double underline, which is one of our series markings in the Gemara marking system, and there are a number of phrases as the Gemara goes on with this double underline. We've noted on the side, the double underline under our Mivneh heading, the structural note, Dugmois shel Sidre Kedima. Different examples of prioritizing things. So, in this case, we have two animals. So, the ruling is Par Koyin Moshiach Kledim LePar Ho'edo B'chol Maisav. The Par of the Koyin Godol is to precede the Par of the Eido, the public par brought on in the event that the Sanhedrin erred and the public followed their erroneous legal ruling. It's to be the par koyin moshiach is to be processed first. Hoyul u'moshiach mechaper ve'edo miskaperes. since the Moshiach, the Kohen Gadol, is someone who comes to provide atonement for others in his general service in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Tzibur is the beneficiary of the atonement, Dinhu Shiaktim HaMechaper LeMiskaper. It's logical that the one who offers atonement for others should take precedence. He should precede those that are the recipients of the kapara. V'chein hu omer, v'chiper ba'do, uva'ad be'iso, uva'ad kol kahal Yisrael. This pasuk is in the context of the Yom Kippur service, where the pasuk tells us he first atones for himself, and then atones for the rest of the Kohanim and the rest of Klal Yisrael, so that the one who processes korbanos, who serves in the Beis HaMikdash to help others achieve atonement, logic would dictate that he should receive atonement before he atones for others. Par helam dover shel tzibur kodem lepar shel avodas kechavim. My taima, why is it that if dover shel tzibur, the court-related korban, and a par of that's a function as of an erroneous legal ruling concerning idolatry. So there are two cows. The par helam dover is processed before the par avodas kechavim. My taima, answer: hai chatos v'hai oilo v'tanya. The par helam dover is a chatos, and the par of avodas kechavim, that animal was brought as a korban oilo. And we're going to see a teaching now that says that a chatos almost always precedes an oila when they are together. V'tanya, v'hikriv es asher l'chatos rishoyna. That pasuk says, and you shall offer the chatos first. Ma tamad lomar. What's the point of this pasuk? What's the chiddush? Im l'lameid shetei chatos rishoyna. If the purpose is simply to say that a chatos comes first, harek varnemar. There's another pasuk that says, ve'es hasheni yase oila kamishpat. You shall process the second one as an ola. So if the second is an ola, then the first is a chatos. Ela, ze bono av. The opening pasuk of this source is here to teach a general rule. Sheyehei sheyu kol chatois koidmois le'olois haboim imohem. That whenever you have a dual korban, a chatos, or a double korban obligation, a chatos and an ola, you shall always process the chatos first. The kaimelon, and we have a tradition, we hold that the afilu chatos ha'oif koidemes le'olos behema. Even though a bird, an oaf, is a less significant type creature than a behema, if the oaf happens to be designated as a chatos, it will precede the behema that's brought as an ola. Other examples: par avodas kechavim kodem l'soir avodas kechavim. The Torah in Parshas Shlach in Sefer Bamidbar talks about a Sanhedrin that makes an erroneous legal ruling concerning idolatry. And the public then goes and practices idolatry unwittingly. In such a case, a compound korban is brought, a par and a so'ir, a cow and a male goat. The par happens to be brought as an ola offering, and the so'ir is brought as a chatos. And here we have something unusual. The order in this case, when you have that compound korban, par avodis kechavim, it says here, koidem, precedes the soir avodis kechavim, precedes the soir that is brought along with it. Amai, so the Gemara asks the obvious question, hai chatos v'hai oila. The soir is a chatos, and the par is an ola. And we just got finished saying that whenever you have an ola and a chatos coming together, the chatos precedes the ola. And here we have just the opposite. Two answers. Amri b'ma rova mishmei de rova bar mori. Chatos avodas kechavim chasera aleph lichatos ksiv. That the Torah, when spelling the word lichatos, the pasuk says that we have it actually written on the side of our Gemaras. At the end of the pasuk says, usir izim echod lichatos. The pasuk is spelled without the common aleph, the generally speaking, the word chatos is spelled ches tes aleph tof. between the tes and the tof in usually appears an aleph. In the spelling of the word in this context, the aleph is missing, and the missing aleph tells us that this chatos is lacking its general primacy, and hence the ola will precede it. Rava, a second approach, Omar kamishpot ksiv bei. The pasuk says, "Umin chosoy v'niskoy kamishpot," and the word kamishpot, Rashi explains, is as it shall be processed as it is written here. And in the presentation of the korbonos in the Torah, in fact, the par is written first. And that you can see by glancing at the pasuk that we have written on the side, where in the middle it says, V'yalsu kol o'edo par ben bokor echad o'ola, l'reach nichoch l'ashem o'chasov v'nizkoy kamishpot, and then it says, V'so'ir izim echad l'chatos at the end. So the word kamishpot tells us, you shall process these korbonos, the par avodah zarah, which is an ola, as it is written, namely before you do the soyer, which comes as a chatos. Other examples. Soyer avodis kechavim koidem lesoyer nosi. My time off. The soyer avodis kechavim we just made reference to is in the context of the erroneous high court ruling regarding idolatry. Well, if they, after they process the par, they happen to have in front of them two seirim, a soyer, the soyer from the soyer avodis kechavim offering, and the soyer that is that a nosi, that the melech, that the king has to bring. So you have two seirim. Which one comes first? So we say the soyer of the avodis kechavim comes first, the soyer of, that's related to the high court erroneous ruling. My taima. Why is that? Answer: Hai tzibur v'hai yochid. The soyer avodis kechavim is coming as a result of a public sin. So the public takes precedence over the individual, even if he happens to be a king. Soyer nasi koidem l'siras yochid. The king's soyer comes before the private person's korban chatos, maitaimo. Why is that? Answer, hai melech v'hai hedyot. A king takes precedence over a commoner. Siras yochid koidemis l'kivsas yochid. When dealing with a korban chatos, a private individual upon sinning, certain kinds of sins that obligate him to bring a korban chatos, the private person has an option of bringing either a female goat or a female sheep. The case presented here, we have a private, we have two private korban chatos in front of us. The Gemara said that a siras yochid is to be processed, the goat is to be processed before the sheep. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Tanya, we have quite the opposite. Kivsas yochid kodemis l'siras yochid, just the opposite. Now, how do you explain the two sources? Omar Abaye, Tanoihi, says that the issue is a machlokes tanoim. Mor sovar siira difa, the source that says that the goat is processed first. Shekein nisrapso etzel avodas kechavim biyochid, because the goat has this primacy as a result of the fact that if a private person is in violation of idolatry, the Torah dictates that he doesn't have the sheep option. He brings only a goat. He doesn't have any option. The Torah focuses on the goat as being the offering in the case of avodah zarah, in the case of idolatry, unwittingly practiced idolatry. As a result of that, we see that there's a, since in one area of the Torah there's primacy afforded to the goat, therefore, given a sheep and goat, you're supposed to process the goat first. Now, the other source that said, the source that we have in a frame here that says that the kivsa, the sheep, comes first, Umosavar kivsa adifo, shekein nisrapso ba'alyo. In the case of a sheep offering, in addition to that which is put on the Mizbeach, you have the innards, the Korban Chatos, the meat of it is eaten by the Kohanim, and the innards are offered up on the Mizbeach. In the case of a sheep Chatos offering, its tail, the Alio, its tail is offered on the Mizbeach as well, and not consumed. This idea of a tail, the tail being offered, is such in the case of a Keves, a sheep, and not in the case of the goat. Hence, there's the keves, the sheep, has a special feature that the goat does not have. As a result of that, this source feels that a keves is given precedence over the Seira. Omer kodem lekeves haboimo, shtei halechem kodmim lekvosim haboimim mohem. There are two korbanos, one that are grain oriented, and along with each one of them, sheep are brought. The Omer is a grain offering, it's a barley offering that's brought into the Beis HaMikdash on Tes Zayin Nisan. Along with the barley grain offering, a sheep is brought as well. So the Minchas Seorim here, the grain offering of the barley that's offered on the Mizbeach, this is offered before the sheep that comes along with it. Shtei Halechem is a korban that's brought on Shavuos, and along with it comes Kvasim. So the Shtei Halechem themselves are not put on the Mizbeach. However, there's a process, a ceremony that surrounds the Shtei Halechem, and that they are therefore dealt with before the Kvasim that come with them. Zeha klal, davar habo begin liyoim, that which is brought because of the day. In this case, we have the Omer and the Shtei Halechem. Kodem, they come before the davar habo begin lechem. They come before that which is brought because of the bread. And the case here is the animal is brought because of the loaves. Ho'ish kodem le'isha v'achios u'lehoshev aveda. If there's a choice between a man, a male and a female, and there's limited food, so the man is given the food, and if there's a choice of dealing with a lost article belonging to a man or a woman, and you have limited resource, so you return the lost article belonging to the man. V'ho'isha kodemes le'ish l'ksus. When it comes to providing clothing, let's say you have a limited amount of fabric and you can provide it to the man or the woman gets precedence. Ulahotzi mi beis hashevi, and a woman also has precedence with regard to being redeemed from captivity. Bizman shishneim oimdim bekalkola, if you have a man and a woman in captivity and you have, let us say, limited funds to have them released, and both the man and the woman are being threatened with immorality, sexual relations. Ho'ish kodem le'isha. Then, under such cases, the man, because he's being threatened with homosexual relations, the woman, being that she's being threatened by the jailers who are men, and relations with her would be the we'll say the normal course of events. Being that homosexual relations are abnormal and constitute a greater aberration, if you will, as a result of that, if you have a man and a woman that are in captivity and they are both being threatened with immorality, under such circumstances the man is to be redeemed first. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a long Tanaic source with a number of examples of kedima, of priority. Hoya hu v'aviv rabo bashevi. A man, his father, and his Rebbe are in captivity. And once again, limited funds. Who is to benefit from the funds for their release? Who, koidem l'rabo, the individual himself who has the money, will take precedence over his Rebbe, over his teacher. The rabo, koidem l'aviv. And his Rebbe will come before his father. Imoy, koidemes l'kulam. One's mother comes before all of them. Chacham kodem lemelech Yisrael. A Talmud Chacham, a sage, takes precedence over a king. The Rashi points out here, Chacham kodem lemelech Yisrael, she'ein kol Yisrael ruyum lechochma. All of the Jews, not everyone is fit to become a sage. Avol melech, kol Yisrael ruyum lemelechus. Anyone in Israel is fit to, in potential, being a king. Chacham, continuing the Gemara, Chacham Shemes, Ein Lanu Kayotze Bo. The Brisa here is reflecting that which we just saw in the Rashi, that a Chacham, when he dies, that's it. There's no replacement for a Chacham that dies. Melech Yisrael Shemes, Kol Yisrael Ruin Lamachus, if a king dies, any other Jew is a fit to being appointed as a king. In other words, a king has a replacement. A Torah sage that passes away, he does not have a replacement. Melech Koidem L'Kohen Gadol. A king takes precedence over a Kohen Gadol. Shinemar, a pasuk is cited. Vayomer HaMelech Lohem. David HaMelech told those that were with him at the time of the anointing of Shlomo his son, Chu imochem es avdei adonechem. He addressed them and say, take the servants of your master. Now he's referring to himself. Now who are the servants over here? Who was present there? Amongst the people present was the Kohen Gadol. So you see here that the Kohen Gadol is referred to as the servant, so to speak, of the king. Hence, the Kohen Gadol is the Melech has precedence, has priority over a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol Kodem Lenovi, a high priest has precedence over a prophet. Shneimar, the pasuk says, Umoshach Oisoi Sham Tzadok HaKohen VeNosan HaNovi. And in this pasuk, we have Tzadok was a Kohen Gadol and Noson who was a Novi. Hikdim Tzadok LeNosan. We see that Tzadok is mentioned first. He's mentioned before Noson, the prophet. The Omer Shma No Yehoshua Kohen HaGadol Atov Re'echa. The pasuk here features Yehoshua, the high priest, and it says here that the pasuk says that Yehoshua should hearken, he and his friends, his colleagues. Yochol Hedyota. So who were those colleagues that were with him? Were they possibly commoners? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk goes on to say, Ki Anshe Moifes Hema. Those people that were with Yehoshua, who was the high priest, were Anshe Moifes. Vein Moifes El Novi. The word Moifes refers to a prophet. Shenema V'Nosan Elecho Oiso Moifes. This pasuk is in the context of prophets. And it says that the prophet will provide a moface, a sign. So the word moface is associated with a Navi. And therefore in this pasuk you see Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is mentioned before those that were with him, and those that were with him included a Navi. Moshuach b'shemena mishcha kodem l'meruba begodim. The Kohen Gadol anointed with the special anointing oil comes before, has precedence over a Kohen Gadol who ascended to office by having simply worn the Big Day Kahuna Gadola, the wearing the eight garments. Meruba Begodim Kodem L'Moshiach Shavar Machmas Kirio, a Kohen Gadol that is currently in office by having worn the eight garments will take precedence over a Kohen Gadol, albeit he was anointed, but he's not in office right now. He's temporarily removed from office because he had a sighting of Keri, the Keri causing him to be Tomei. Moshiach she'ovar machmas kerio, koidem le'ovar machmas mumo. If you have two currently unemployed kohanim gedolim, so to speak, that one is out of office temporarily because of keri, and the other one is removed from office because of a mum, because of a blemish. Ovar, the source is teaching us that a one removed because of keri has precedence over the one who is removed because of the mum. Ovar machmas mumo kodem l'moshuach milchama. The blemished kohen gadol has precedence over the one, the kohen who was appointed to oversee issues of battle. Moshuach milchama kodem l'sgan. We're now going to make references to different offices in the context of the Beis Hamikdash. One of those officers was called a skan, the skan of the kohen gadol, sometimes referred to as the assistant. The Moshuach Mechoma has precedence over the Sgan. Sgan Koidem Lamarkol. And the Sgan has precedence over the Amarkol, another official there. The Tanaic source will continue, but we have a bracketed phrase over here. Simply, the Gemara interrupts to define what an Amarkol is. So we will read the Gemara straight. My Amarkol, what is that office? Omar of Chista, Omar Kula. He might be termed the executive director, where he oversees the goings-on, Beis Hamikdash. The Rashi says Shememuna al kulam ve'ein meshivim al dvarav. He issues orders, and no one can argue with his orders. Amarkol koydem legizbar. The Amarkol official has precedence over the treasurer. Gizbar koydem lerosh mishmar. The Kohanim of Israel were divided into 24 mishmaros, and each mishmar served twice a year for a period of a week. In other words, 2 weeks a year. The Kohanim that formed a mishmar, that formed that week's group of Kohanim, were called a mishmar. So that group had a head to it, a chief of the mishmar. So we say here that the gizbar, the treasurer, takes precedence over the Rosh Mishmar. Rosh Mishmar Koidem LeRosh Beis Av. The group of Kohanim that serve on a given week, each week's worth of Kohanim were divided into daily service groups. And the daily service group was called a Beis Av. So, and each daily service group had a head to it. Rosh Beis Av Koidem LeKohen Hedyo. And the head of that daily group of Kohanim, he takes precedence over a common Kohen. The Indian Tuma Sganu Moshuch Milchama Eze Mehem Koidem. If you have the following situation, a mace mitzvah, that means a corpse is found lying in the outdoors, or found in any context. But the problem is that this mace doesn't have anyone around to bury it. In general, a Kohen Gadol is forbidden to expose himself to Tumas Meis, even if it involves one of his close relatives. That is, he's not allowed to expose himself to the dead and thereby incur ritual impurity known as Tumas Meis. There's one exception to that law, and that's when a Meis mitzvah is found, a body that has no one to bury it. Then a Kohen Gadol is allowed to metama, or let us say even a Kohen Gadol is allowed to metama to it. The question posed by the Gemara here is, if there are two high-level Kohen officials, a Sgan and a Meshuch Muchoma. Now we saw in the source that the Sgan, in as far as other matters are concerned, the Sgan takes precedence over the Meshuch Muchoma. Let us correct ourselves. The source said, Meshuch Muchoma Kohen L'Sgan. Here we have a question involving a Meshuch Mechoma and a Sgan. Who is it that that takes precedence in the case of Metama to the Meis Mitzvah? Omar Marzutra, Preidu Rav Nachmon, Toshma, Desanya. We have the following source that should serve to answer the question. Sganu Meshuch Milchoma Shohayu Mahalchem Baderech Upoga Bahem Meis Mitzvah. You have these two officials walking along and they meet up with a corpse. Mutav Shiatame Meshuch Milchoma Va'al Yatame Sgan. Better for the Meshuch Milchoma to expose himself to the tumah and take care of the burial, and the Sgan should not. Shim Yara Boi Psul B'Kohen Gadol. The reason to preserve the Sgan in a state of Tara is because if some kind of deficiency arises with regard to the officiating Kohen Gadol, Nichnas Hasgan u'Meshamish Tachtov, the Sgan is the one expected to take over the role of Kohen Gadol. So we want to make sure that the Sgan remains Tahor, and therefore the Meshuch Mechoma is the one to expose himself to the Tumah. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Tanya Meshuch Milchoma Koidem L'Sgan," that we give precedence to the Meshuch Milchoma over the Sgan. And in asking this question, it would seem to suggest that if it's a question of preserving someone's Tara, we should be more concerned over the Meshuch Milchoma more so than with the Sgan. Omer Avino, Ki Tanya Hi, the source that it suggests the Meshuch Milchoma comes before the Sgan, that's L'Hachyoso. That's with regard to feeding him and maintaining him and taking care of him. In such matters of that nature, the Meshuch Milchoma takes precedence. However, in an issue concerning preserving Tara, the Sgan takes precedence. Kohen Koidem LeLevi, Levi LeYisrael, Yisrael LeMamzer, UMamzer LeNosin. The Nosin is an individual that traces his lineage back to the Givoinim, people that we'll say faked their identity out in the time of Yehoshua, and they were, as a result of the incident, they were sentenced, so to speak, to be Shoye Veimayim and Chotvei Eitzim. V'nosin leger, ger, a convert. V'ger le'eved meshuchar, and a convert takes precedence over a freed slave. An eved, once he becomes freed, becomes essentially becomes a Jew, but he has a, he's categorized as an eved meshuchar. Amosai, when do these rules of precedence hold? Bizman shikulam shavim, when everything else is equal. And the only difference between them is their category. Avol im hoya mamzer talmud chacham, the kohen gadol am haaretz. If you have two people, one happens to be a mamzer, but he's a Torah sage, and you have a kohen gadol who is an ignoramus, mamzer talmud chacham kodem lekohen gadol am haaretz. In terms of taking care of them, redeeming them, or whatever, the mamzer, even though he's on the low end of the priority spectrum, he will take precedence over a Kohen Gadol who is an ignoramus. Once again, a mamzer who is a Torah scholar, will the Torah scholarship that this man has gives him precedence over the Kohen Gadol who lacks Torah scholarship. Kohen Kodem Ulevi, Shinemar, B'nei Amram, Aaron u'Moshe, Vayibodel Aharon lahakdishoy Kodesh Kodoshim. The pasuk features the Aaron and Moshe, and it says that Aaron was separated to be the considered extra holy, and as such, Aaron, who was of course the original kohen, so we see from here that the kahuna takes precedence over the Leviah, Moshe Rabbeinu representing the Leviah, as he was a descendant from, he was a son of Amram, who himself descended from Levi. Levi kodem l'Yisrael shenemar bo esahi hivdil Hashem es shevet ha-Levi. Yisrael kodem l'mamzer shezeh miyuchos v'zeh eno miyuchos. A Yisrael, who is a person who's Jewish and can trace and has a Jewish lineage, he comes before a mamzer. The mamzer is the Jew is considered having come from a proper set of parents. He's called miyuchas. The mamzer, being that he comes from illicit marital relations, he's considered eno miyuchas, lacking proper genealogy. Mamzer koidem lenosim. The mamzer precedes a nosin. Why ze bo mitipok shera? The mamzer, even though his mother and father there were not allowed to wed with each other, but nevertheless, individually, the parents themselves come from proper lineage. Vezeh, the nosin bo mitipa psula, he comes from an unfit origin. Nosin kodem leger. Zeh godol imana b'dusha, the nosin comes from a group of people that continue to live amongst us, amongst the Jews, so he's called, he grew up in holiness amongst the Jews. Vezeh, the ger, the convert, coming from an idolatrous background, lo godol imana b'dusha, he didn't grow up, he wasn't raised amongst us, amongst the holy Jewish people. Ger kodem le'eved meshuchrar, the convert takes precedence over the freed slave. Ze hoya bechlal oru, the eved was included in the realm or under the heading of the cursed. Avodim trace their lineage back to Ham ben Noach. When one reads the story in Sefer Bereishis and Parshas Noach, one will see that Ham mistreated his father. There was an incident possibly involving immorality, and at the very least a situation of his disparaging his father, and as a result of that, Noach cursed Ham that his descendants would be Avodim. So from the fact that there was a curse that was issued, and the result of the curse was enslavement, we see that that's the we can say the ultimate form of curse. So the Eved Meshuchar, who is someone who comes from the curse, so to speak, he has less priority over the Ger, the Gentile who was not part of the curse. So that's what's meant by this phrase Zehoyo Bechla Oru. The Eved was under the category of Oru. Vezeh, the Ger, Lo Hoyo Bechla Oru, was not part of the curse. Amosai, Bizman Shikulan Shovin, Aval Im Hoyo, we've written in the continuation, Aval Im Hoyo, Mamzer, Talmud Chochem, Lekoyen Godel Amoretz, Talmud Chochem, Koydim, Lekoyen Godel Amoretz. Minohani Mili, what's the origin or the basis of saying this? Omrav Achob, Rabbi Chanino, Diamakro, Yikoro, he, Mipninim. He is a pronoun referring to the Torah. The Torah is more precious than Pninim, precious items. And the Durosha here is, the word Pninim is taken to mean Pnim, something inside. Mikoyin Godol, Shenichnas Lifnei Lifnim. The Kohen Godol on Yom Kippur went to the inner sanctum, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's called the Lifnei Lifnim. So this posik is darshaned as follows, that the Torah is more precious than the Kohen Godol who goes to the inner sanctum. And hence we come to the conclusion that a mamzer, even though he has this lowly genealogical status, but since he contains Torah, he's a Talmud Chacham, he has precedence over a Kohen Godol who happens to be an ignoramus. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Bedinhu Shiaktim Eved Meshuchor Leger. In logic, the Eved Meshuchor should take precedence over the Ger. Sheze Godol Imona B'Kedusha, the Eved grew up amongst us. He was a slave to a Jewish family. He grew up in a state of holiness. The Ger, a convert, Lo Godol Imona B'Kedusha. So why is it that it's the other way around? Why is it that the Ger takes precedence over the Eved Meshuchar? Ela Zeh, the Eved, Hoya Bechlal Oror, he was part of the curse. Vezeh, the Ger, Lo Hoya Bechlal Oror. Shalu Tamidov es Rav Elozer v'Rav Tzadok. We have here a geometric form, a trapezoid or volcano shape, and we feature on the side an explanation, the Mivneh. We'll see Sidro Shel Shelos, a series of questions that are posed to Rav Elozer. Shalu Tamidov es Rav Elozer v'Rav Tzadok. Mipnei ma hakol rotzin lisa gioris, v'en hakol rotzin lisa mishucheris. Why is it that people will run to marry a girl who happens to be a convert before they would run to marry a girl who was a freed shivcha, freed slave? Omar lahem, zu hoisa b'chlal oru, the shivcha was part of the curse. Vezu, the gyeres, lo hoisa b'chlal oru, she was never part of the curse. Dover acher, zu hoisa b'cheskas shomor, another reason for preferring the Gioris over the Shipha, is that the Gioris was Becheskas Shomer, her morality was under guard. Vizu, the Shipha, Lo Hoysa Becheskas Shomer. Slave women were generally speaking treated with immorality. And therefore, a man in seeking a wife would prefer a girl that was careful and did not engage in immorality. Rashi offers more explanation. One can look there for further elucidation. Shalu tamidov es Rabbi Elozer. Bitnei ma hakelev makir es koinoi v'chosul eino makir es koinoi. Why is it that a dog has a certain level of allegiance to its owner and a cat does not? Omar lahem. Rabbi Elozer answers. Umaha oichel mimasha achbo oichel mishkach. Mind you, someone who eats food that a mouse had eaten from beforehand, that kind of food, so the leftovers from that which an achbor consumed, that kind of food causes forgetfulness. We know that a chasul, probably a cat, an achbor, probably a mouse, we know that a chasul eats achborim. So if one eats the food that an achbor ate, becomes forgetful, mind you, one who eats an achbor itself, all the more so. So the cat is, or the chasul is said to really forget who its owner is because it eats the achbar. Shalu Talmidov es Reb Elozer, mitnei ma hakol mushlim b'achborim? Why is it that everyone seems to try to rule over or get rid of mice? Answer, mitnei shesuron ra, because their ways are of evil, that is, of the mice. Maihi, what do you mean by suron ra? What is an example of that? So we have two examples. Rovo omar afilu glimi gaitzi. Achbors, as we say, probably mice, they will chew on clothing. Clothing themselves are not food, and they bite and they chew on clothing, even though they get no pleasure from it. Shows it that their behavior is one of pure evil. Rav Papa Omar Afilu Shufsa Mora Gaitzi. Rav Papa says they'll even chew on pegs that hold shovel blades onto their handles. Now these pegs were made of wood. They will gnaw on the wood, even though it gives them no nourishment, no sustenance. And as a result of this type of destructive tendency that these creatures have, this classifies them as being suran ra, evil way. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a nosei mivneh heading on the side. We see diamonds in the Gemara itself, in this Tanaic source that's contained in the frame, and on the side we feature the diamond. Chamisha dvarim hamo'ilim l'limud u'lezikaroin u'kamochein lehefech. We'll feature five things that are beneficial and the opposite, and cause forgetfulness in learning. The source itself begins with those things that are that cause forgetfulness. Chamisha dvarim mishachim es halimud. Five things can cause one to forget his learning. Ha'echol mima she'echol achbor mima she'echol chasul. One who eats that which is left over from that which an achbor or chasul ate. So if they gnawed on a piece of cheese and you come along and eat the cheese that's the leftover from what the achbor ate, that can cause forgetfulness. And likewise, if one eats leftovers from that which a cat ate. Vo'echel lev shel behema, one who eats the heart of a cow. Vo'arogil bezesim, one who is a regular in consuming olives. Vashoyse mayim shel shirei rechitza, one who drinks the residue water from bathing. Vo'arochet raglov zu al gabi zu, one who washes his feet while one leg is upon the other. One who places his clothing under his head, uses his clothing as a pillow. Chamisha dvarim meshivim es halimud. There are five things that can restore one's learning. Rashi says, meshiv machzir es halimud shenishkach hemenu kvar shivim shana. That the following can restore learning that one might have forgotten even 70 years earlier. What are they? Pas pechomim, v'chol shekein pechomim atzmom. This is bread that's baked on coals, and certainly, and all the more so, coals themselves. V'oichel beitzo migulgeles b'lo melach. One who eats a hard-boiled egg without salt. V'horogiel b'shem en zayis. One who is a regular in consuming olive oil. V'horogiel b'yayin u'besamim. One who's a regular in drinking wine and spices. V'hoshoyse mayim shel shirei isa, one who drinks the residue water from kneading dough. V'yesh omrim af ha-toivel etzbo b'melach v'ochel. And another opinion says, one who dips his fingers into salt and eats it. Harogil b'shemen zayis, this was one of the items mentioned as being beneficial for one's learning. Messiah Leila Rabbi Yochanan. This supports the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan. Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Keshem Shazayas Meshakeach Limud Shel Shivim Shana. Just like the olive is capable of making one forget his 70 years of learning, Kach Shemen Zayas Meshiv Limud Shel Shivim Shana. So too, olive oil has the capability of restoring the learning of 70 years. The Rogil B'Yayin U'Besomim. Messiah lay the Rava. This teaching supports that which Rava has been known to say. Yoma Rava, Chamra v'rechni pikhin. Chamra is wine, rechni being spices, pikhin causes wisdom. V'hatoivel etzbo b'melach. Omer Eish Lakish, uba'achas. According to Reish Lakish, it's referring to the dipping of one finger into the salt. The issue of finger and numbers of fingers in the salt is a Tanaic controversy, the Gemara says. Ketanoi, Rabbi Yehuda omer achas, velo shtayim, one finger and not two. Rabbi Yossi omer shtayim, velo shalosh, two fingers and not three. V'simonech kemitza, in order to remember that the controversy is a question of either one or two, so one does the following. He holds his hand out. When it says here simonech kemitza, it means you would take your fourth finger, namely the finger next to the pinky, bend that finger in, and forget about one's thumb, and then what does one see? One sees on one side the pinky, that represents one, and on the other side of the fourth finger there are two fingers, his middle finger and his pointer finger. That's two. And forget about the thumb. The thumb doesn't figure in this particular device, this memory device. So by positioning your hand like that, curling in the fourth finger and leaving the pinky extended on one side and two fingers on the other, you will remember that the issue of finger numbers is one or two. The source that now continues in the Gemara, Asor Dvarim Koshim Lelimud, there are 10 things that are injurious to one's learning. Rashi says, "Sha'oisa oisam ye kosher lishmoa." That one who does these things, it will be difficult for him to listen and absorb Torah learning. What are they? Ha'oiver, tachas ho'afser ha'gomol, the kol shekein tachas gomol atzmo. One who walks under the rope attached to a camel, and certainly one who walks under a camel himself. Ve'oiver ben shnei gemolim, one who walks between two camels. Ve'oiver ben shtei noshim, one who walks between two women. Ve'isha ho'iveres ben shnei anoshim, or a woman who walks between two men. Ve'oiver mitachas reach ra shel nevela. The source uses the term mitachas. It's explained that it says here that one who walks under the foul scent of a rotting carcass. Scents rise, so that the idea of walking under them simply means being in the presence of this foul scent. If you're in the presence and you sense the foul smell, you're probably under the scent. Ve'oiver, it's number 6, ve'oiver tachas ha'gesher shelo ovru tachtov mayim arboim yom. One who walks under a bridge. This bridge crosses a body of water, a river, but what causes the difficulty in the learning is one who walks under a bridge under which water did not flow for 40 days. It's like dry river that's been dried for 40 days. Vo'oichel pas shelo bishel kol tzorcho, one who eats bread that's not fully baked. Vo'oichel boser mizuam listeron, one who eats meat out of a ladle. Zuam listeron is the spoon or the utensil that's used for stirring pots. So one who eats meat right out of that stirring utensil is asking for trouble with regard to his learning. Vashoise me'amas hamayim overes bevesak voros, one who drinks water from a stream that flows through a cemetery. Vamestakel b'fnei hameis, one who gazes upon the face of a dead individual. V'yesh omrim af hakorei ksav she'al gabei hakever. Another opinion says that another thing that's kosher lelimud is one who reads inscriptions on graves. Tana Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that will feature the honor that one is supposed to show to a nosi and to other important officials. Kishahanosi nichnas. The nosi, in addition to in previous sugis, we saw the term nosi referring to a king, but the term nosi can refer to the leader of the Jewish people as well. We know that Rabbi Yehuda Hanosi, even though he wasn't officially a king, he nevertheless had the title of nosi. So the source says, Kishanosi nichnas, when a nosi enters a room where people are seated, kol ha'om oimdim, Everyone is expected to stand up. The entire room is expected to stand up. V'ein yoshvim ad she'omer lahem shulen. They are not to sit down until they're instructed to sit. Kishav based in nichnas. What we've done with our markings, you can see we've dashed, underlined the officials. Here we have a nosi, now the av based in, and shortly you will see the chacham. When an av based in, the head of the court, walks in, kishav based in nichnas, oisim loy shura achas mikan v'shura achas mikan ad sheyeshev b'makoma. As he walks along, he walks down an aisle, let us say. So the row of people that are to his right and to his left, each row stands up as he walks by. They sit down, and in a succeeding fashion, each row as he walks by stands up. Let us say this again more accurately. Now, each row as he walks by, they stand up, and they do not sit down until he gets to his seat. Kishechocham nichnas, echod oimed v'echod yoshev ad sheyeshev b'mekomo. When the sage walks in, so they stand. One stands up. Echod nich. Right. It says here nichnas. Echod oimed v'echod yoshev ad sheyeshev b'mekomo. One stands and one sits. And it would seem that as he walks by, people stand and then they sit. And this continues until he gets to his position. B'nei Chachomim v'Talmid Chachomim. Bizman she'rabim tzrichim lahem. You have a case of the Torah sages and their children. When these sages are people that are in service of the public, people, that's what's termed here, Rabban Tzrichim Lahem, Mafsin al Roshei Ha'am. They're allowed to walk between people. In other places, the Gemara illustrates this. The scenario here is where people were sitting on the ground, sitting lowly positions, and they were there, or they were all assembled to hear a drosha. He would be entitled to walk between the people. Literally, it means walk over their heads, but this idea of walking between people that are seated on the ground is described as by walking over their heads. The right that he has to do this is because he's someone who's needed by the public. Yotzo litzorech, if he has to exit the room for some good reason, yikones v'yeshev b'mekomo, he can then return in the same way and sit in his place. B'nei talmidei chachamim shememunim aviyam parnas al hatzibur, the sons of sages who are appointed as leaders over the public, bizman sheyesh lahem das lishmoa, when the children of these sages have their own wisdom and understand what they're being taught, nichnasim v'yoshim lifnei aviyem v'achareim klapei ha'am, they sit up where their fathers are with their backs to the people. However, bizman she'ein lahem das lishmoa, let us say they're young and they even though they're the son, they happen to be the sons of sages, but they don't have the capacity of understanding that which they're hearing. Nichnasim v'yoshim fnei aviyim, they too will go sit up front. However, in this case, ufneim klapei ha'am, they'll be facing the public with their backs to their fathers. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, af beveis hamishteh oisim oisam snifim. Not only in a public lecture format, but even in a beis hamishteh, often is explained as a wedding, when you have a table of honor or a dais where the honored guests are seated. The children of the talmidei chachamim, of the Torah sages, are seated near them as well. This serves to increase the honor accorded to their fathers. Omar Mar, Yotzo Litzarch, we said in this source, just a few lines up, and you can see we have little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see the parallel arrow above where this quote is coming from. It says that if the sage left the public assembly for litzorach, for a good reason, nichnas v'yoshev b'mkomo, he's entitled to return to his spot the same way he walked in initially. Omar of Papa, lo omru elektanim, this idea of going out for good reason, this is if he has to take care of his bodily needs, he has to urinate. Avol, l'gdoilim lo, if he has to take care of solid waste, to relieve himself in a solid waste fashion, there we don't say this. And what's the, why is that? Why is it that he, if he walks out for that reason, then he can't walk in the same way he came in, walking over the people. Have lay lemivdak nafshe meikara, because a person senses he has, we'll say, more advanced warning or bodily feeling with regard to solid waste, and as a result of that, he should have checked himself out before he went in the first place. Therefore, if he was lax in doing that, therefore he has no right to go back in and walk over the people to get back to his spot. This is not the case when it comes to the ktanim, which is the liquid relieving, where that can a person can get that feeling in a moment's notice without feeling beforehand. The Omar of Yehuda, Omar of the Olam, Yilamed Odom Atzmo, Vahash Mahariv, Kedei Shelo Yisrachek. There's a teaching that a person should accustom himself to relieving himself in the morning and in the evening, so that in such a case, when it's early morning or at night, he's able to relieve himself near his house. And we're talking about a situation where you didn't have internal bathrooms with privacy in one's house or office building. So given a situation that wasn't present, one would have to relieve himself in the outdoors. So if it's the early morning or in the nighttime, then he wouldn't have to go far away in order to preserve a sense of modesty. The Gemara continues and says, "Ho'idna dechol shalma." But nowadays, our bodily constitution has become weakened. Afilu l'gdoil nami. We will make an allowance with regard to the solid waste as well. And the Gemara is saying that we don't have that same bodily control, and the feeling to relieve oneself from solid waste can also come at a moment's notice, and therefore it would be considered a legitimate reason for his leaving the public assembly without our having a claim on him. Why didn't you check yourself out initially? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer Af Beveis Hamishta Oisim Oisam Snifim. We said above that in a Beis Hamishta, in a wedding, we will accord honor to the sages by having their children sit up with them as well. Omar Rava, b'chaye avihem b'fnei avihem. Let us take a look at Rashi, at the top of the inside column of Rashi commentary. Omar Rava, b'chaye avihem ha de'oisim snifim b'fnei kovar avihem. That which we said that we allow the children of sages to sit up at the table of honor on the dais, this is so when, as long as their fathers are alive. In other words, the children of the sages are being seated with their fathers. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bimei Rav Shim Gamliel Nishnes Mishnah Zu. At this point in the Gemara, we're going to begin a long Maisa. The Rabbi Yochanan tells us that it was in the lifetime, or during the time, the era of Rav Shim Gamliel, that the Tanaic source above, that began with the teaching on the first wide line, Kishanosi, Nichnas, Kolaom, Oindim, etc. This source was taught in the time of Rav Shim Gamliel. He happened to be the Nosi. And in this source, the Nosi was given greater honor than the Av Beis Din and the Chacham. As we saw in the case of the Nosi, as soon as he walks in, the entire assembly is supposed to of the assembly of people are supposed to stand up. The Av Beis Din, when he walks in, so the standing up is row by row. And when the Chacham walks in, it's individuals that stand up. Not, there wasn't any expectation of the entire room standing up. So this source that had the Nasi given accorded greater honor was taught in the time of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. As we mentioned, this is the beginning of a long Maisa. We have a marking on the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with the word Maisa encircled and a dashed vertical line that follows, and this continues till Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, where all of this piece of Gemara is essentially tied into this particular Maisa. This continues, as you can see, onto the first wide line of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Nasi. He happened to be the Nasi, Rabbi Meir Chacham, Rabbi Nosson Av Beis Din. Ki havu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Hosam, havu kaimi kuli amu mekamei. When Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would walk in, everyone would stand up. Ki havu aili Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nosson, havu kaimi kuli amu mekamei. And when they walked in, Rabbi Meir, who was a Chacham, and Rabbi Nosson, who was an Av Beis Din, likewise, everyone would stand up in their honor. Amar Shimon Gamliel, lo bo l'mevi hekera bein dili l'didhu. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, should there not be a hekera, a distinction made between me and them? Tokin ha'mas nisa. He thereby instituted that which was taught in the Tanaic source that we just made reference to, where the Nasi was given, was accorded greater honor than the Av Beis Din and the Chacham. Hahu yuma lo hava Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Nosson Hosam. On that very day that he established this rule, this distinction that gave greater precedence, greater honor to the Nasi, they, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson, were not present. Lamochar ki osu, the next day when they came, chazu de lo kamu mekamayo ki de regila milsa. They noticed that the entire assembly did not get up as was the custom till then, as they were accustomed to. Amri mai hai, they inquired, what's going on here? Why is it now we're walking in and everyone isn't getting up for us? Amru lahu, they were informed, hachi tokin Rav Shimon Gamliel. This is the new ruling that Rav Shimon Gamliel instituted. Amale Rabbi Meir the Rav Nosson. Rabbi Meir schemed with Rabbi Nosson. Ano Chacham, I am a Chacham. V'at Av Beis Din, you're the head of the court. Naskin Milsa Ki L'Didon. Let us set up something to benefit us. My Navid Le. So what should we do with him? What should we do to him, to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? And we'll see here from the as the story unfolds, they're going to try to put him in his place, so to speak. So the scheme continues. Namole, let us tell him, let us turn to him and say to him, Goli uksin, les lay. Say a shir on, teach over the matters contained in the Tractate of Uktzin. Uktzin is in Seder Taros, and it was a section of learning that wasn't studied that commonly by many, many people. V'kevan de lo gomar, and since he, Rav Shimon Gamliel, is not quite as fluent in Uktzin as he is in other areas, and he'll then be somewhat dumbfounded, if you will, then he won't be able to teach. Name ole, then we'll tell him mi amale al gvuras Hashem yashmia kol tehilaso. And this is darshan lemi noye lemal gvuras Hashem. For whom is it proper to teach the greatness of God, the strength of God? In other words, who is authorized in teaching Torah? Mishi yochol hashmiel kol tilosav, someone who's capable of saying all of his praises, meaning that all areas of Torah learning are fluent in him. And at that point, when he won't be able to hold forth on uksim, Naavrei will be able to impeach him. V'havi ano a based in Vatnosi. Then I, says Rabbi Meir, I will then rise one rank up to be Av Bezin, and you, who are currently Av Bezin, you will take over being the Nosi. So we just heard the scheme that Rabbi Meir shared with Rav Nosson, how they're going to get back, so to speak, at Rav Shimon Liel. Before we go any further, it's very important to issue a word of caution here, and that even though we're presenting the Gemara on an extremely superficial level, we're basically translating this. One should not get, even for a second, some type of impression of power struggle and an honor seeking in the common sense of the word. There are much much deeper considerations that are running through the decisions that are governing the different decisions and schemes that are being set up over here. And that requires much, much further investigation into Meforshim and different commentaries to appreciate the depth of what we're learning about. But in the context of our shir, we will continue with translating the Gemara, but at the same time, with this word of extreme caution, not to misconstrue the goings on here of these very, very lofty rabbinic figures who ranked amongst the greatest of our people of all time. And naturally, if we don't open up the commentaries, even though we don't open up the commentaries, one should not misconstrue that which we are learning right now. So we continue in the Gemara. After this, while the scheme was being told over by Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Nosson, someone had heard what was going on. Shaminhu Rabbi Yankov ben Karshi. Rabbi Yankov overheard Rabbi Meir's scheme as he was telling it to Rabbi Nosson. Omar, Rabbi Yankov figured, Dilma chas v'sholem asya milsuli de kisufa. This scheme could actually result in tremendous public embarrassment. Ozal Yosef achorei ilisei Rav Shimon Liel. So Rabbi Yankov positioned himself in the room that Rav Shimon Liel was sitting in, some type of, could be a private study, and Rabbi Yankov positioned himself over there. Poshat, goras v'tona, goras v'tona. He started to learn vocally, in an audible fashion. He, Rabbi Yankov, started to learn over and to explain, while he was learning, to expound on matters of Uksin, of this section of Seder Taros, this section of Torah learning that we said before, was not something that people engaged in on a common or on a regular basis. Omar, Rav Shimon Liel, he heard Rabbi Yankov and his learning, said, "Mind to come off." Says, like, "Hey, what's going on? What is this?" It seemed a rather unusual thing that a man sat down, started to learn vocally, and all the more so a topic that's not very common. Dilmo chas v'shalom iko bei midrash amidi. So Rabbi Shimon Liel, an extremely wise individual, read into this. He saw this unusual phenomenon and said, maybe there's something that's cooking here in the base medrash. Yohav daite v'garsa. So he paid careful attention to what Rabbi Yankov was saying, what he was learning. Yohav daite v'garsa. And he learned it. Lamochar Omrule Nesi Mar Venesni Buksin. So the next day, Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Meir turned to Rav Shimon Ben Liel and said, "Oh, would you teach over Uksin?" Pasach V'yomar, and he was able to hold forth fluently. Bosor de Oikim, when he finished his lecture, Omar Lahu, Rav Shimon Ben Liel said to Rav Nosson and Rabbi Meir, "Ilo Gamirna Kesifisnon. If I had not learned it, you would have caused me great embarrassment." He caught on to the whole scheme, and Pokid v'afkinu mibei midrashi, then issued an order and had them thrown out of the base medrash. Havukasvi kushyasa b'pisko v'shadu hasam. People would write questions of halacha and send them into the base medrash. Dava mifrik mifrik. those questions that they were able to answer. So the rabbis in the Beis Medrash would send answers. The lo havu mifrik, those questions that they could not answer, kasvi piruki v'shadu. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson, who were outside the Beis Medrash, they were capable of answering the questions that the residents or the inhabitants of the Beis Medrash were incapable of answering. So they, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson, would write the answers and send them into the Beis Medrash. Omar lehu Rabbi Yossi, Torah mibachutz v'anu mibifnim. Rabbi Yossi noticed this incongruity of these very great men who were the ultimate in ability. They were able to answer the questions that no one else could answer. And here, and lo and behold, they're sitting outside. The Torah is outside and we're inside. Omar lehen Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, ni'alinu, so bring them in. Miu niknasinu, but we're going to find them. Delo nemru shmaitza mishmayu, that we're not going to say over their Torah teachings in their name. Asikul Rabbi Meir Achirim, and they thereby nicknamed Rabbi Meir by the term Achirim. Ul Rabbi Nosson Yesh Omrim, and they, when Rabbi Nosson would say something and his words were recorded, they were recorded as Yesh Omrim and not in his own name. So once again, Rabbi Meir, if he would say something and his words were recorded, it would be recorded as Achirim Omrim. And if Rabbi Nosson says something, he would be recorded as Yesh Omrim. Achvu lehu b'chumayu, zilu paisuhu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Meir were shown in their dream that they should go and appease Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Nosson ozal, Rabbi Meir lo ozal. Rabbi Nosson went and sought his forgiveness, but Rabbi Meir did not. Omar, Rabbi Meir figured, divrei chalomos, that which you see in a dream, lo malin velo maridin, is of no consequence. So therefore Rabbi Meir didn't take the dream seriously, and the dream did not serve to motivate him to seek the forgiveness of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ki ozal Rabbi Nosson, omar le Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. When Rabbi Nosson went to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he said, Nehi dahani loch kamra davuch lemevi av beis din. Granted that the kamra literally is a golden belt of some kind. It's a sign of importance. It seems that Rabbi Nosson's father was an important individual, and that importance carried down to Rabbi Nosson himself and enabled him to also be an av beis din. However, Shavinoch Nami Nosi, does that importance that your father had grant you the power to be a Nosi as well? Masni Le Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon Berei. Rebbe, who was the son of Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, was the focus, was the subject of the story. Rebbe teaches his son, Rebbe Shimon, the following. We're going to have a brief quote from a Tanaic source that comes from Halachas concerning Temura. We will not engage in the details of the source because that's not the focus of the sugya. If you want to have more background in this, so one can look at the Rashi for starters and see this, see the background for this. We said it's Halachas of Temura, and it comes from Maseches Bechoros. Achirim omrim ilu hoya Temura lo hoya korev. That's the source. Omar lo, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rebbe, says, Mi heim halolu shememeim onushosim. Who are these that we drink their waters, meaning we learn their Torah, ushmoisom ein onu maskirim, and we don't mention their names. We have this source, and the source began by saying, Achirim omrim, but his name is not mentioned. Now, we saw a few lines ago that Rabbi Meir was nicknamed Achirim. That was after they were brought back into the Beis Medrash. They were, however, fine, Rabbi Meir and Nelson, that their Torah, that the Torah that they say over, that they teach, will not be repeated in their names, but through these nicknames or anonymous type references. So Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, says, who is this? Who is this Achirim? Omar Lei, so Rabbi says, B'nei Odom, shebikshu lakor kvodcho u'kvod beis avicha. You know who they are? These are people that try to uproot your honor and the honor of your father's house. Let us remind ourselves that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was a Nasi. Rebbe was the famous Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. So we're dealing with the household of Nasius. And Rebbe Meir schemed, along with Rebbe Nosson, to disparage, if you will, the office of Nasi. And as a result of that, Rebbe is explaining to his son, Rebbe Shimon, that that's why we don't mention their names. So Reb Shimon says, "Gam ahavosom, gam sinosom, gam kinosom, kvar avoda." The strife that they represented, their even if it's their hate and their jealousy, is no longer around. It's gone. So, isn't it at about time that we do mention their names? Omalei, so Rebbe says, Ho'oyev tamu charvois lanetzach. The enemy might be gone, even though they're dead, but their swords are still are permanent. And as a result of that, it's not right to mention their names. So that even though they are gone, but their desire to belittle the office of Nasius, that still is something that we have to contend with. Amalei, Hani Mili, this, so Reb Shimon says back to his father, this idea that Charovos Lanetzach, Hecho Dahanu Masayu, that's when when there was some kind of outcome, something resulted from their plans, from their schemes. The Pasuk made a reference to the enemy that's no longer around, but their swords are forever. That's true if the enemy was effective. Rabbonan lo hanu masayu, but the sages in question here, Rabbi Meir and Menosson, they schemed, but their scheme was not successful. So, as a result of that, you can't apply to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Menosson charvos lanetzach. Hodar asnilei, well, then Rabbi continued and taught his son the following source. Omru mishum Rabbi Meir, ilu hoya tmuro lo hoya korev. So the same source that we saw taught before with the beginning Achirim, he now changed it and said it was said in the name of Rebbe Meir. Omar Rava, Afilu Rebbe, Da'an V'Sano Have, even Rebbe, who was known as an extremely modest individual, Tona, he teaches over Omru Mishum Rebbe Meir. However, Omar Rebbe Meir lo Omar. He doesn't say it in a direct fashion that Rebbe Meir said, but rather in this somewhat disconnected fashion, it was said in the name of Rebbe Meir, which shows that there's some type of residual ill feeling in the voice of Rebbe in his teaching. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Pligi bo Rebbe Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel v'Rabbanan. There's a machlokis between Rab Shimon and the Rabbonon. Chan Omar Sinai Odif, v'chan Omar Oikir Horim Odif. If there's a question of whom to appoint as Rosh Yeshiva, and you have a choice of someone who's classified as Sinai. Sinai is a person who has fluency in sources, a broad knowledge of Torah sources, and an Oikir Horim is someone who has less breadth of Torah knowledge, but he has a greater deal of incisive abilities. Who should one choose? So one opinion says that Sinai, the breadth of knowledge, is the one who has that is to be chosen, and the other opinion says Okir Horim, the incisive one, is to be chosen. Rav Yosef, Sinai, Rabba, Okir Horim, two famous Amoraim. Rav Yosef, he was known as a Sinai, a person of great breadth, and Rabba was known as one of great incisive abilities. Shochu v'tamon, the question was sent there, Eze mehem kodem, who has precedence, who, as we said, who would be preferable to be a Rosh Yeshiva? Shochu lehu, the answer came forth from there, Sinai odif, more appropriate or more preferable is the Sinai individual. The Omar Mar, Hakol Tzrichin Lamori Chitya. Everyone needs the grain merchant. The idea being that a person who has a great breadth of knowledge will be of greater service, we'll say, to the public, in the sense that from the public questions come up from all kinds of different realms of knowledge, and he will be more capable of answering their questions. V'afilu hachi, even though Sinai is Adif, and if it were a choice between Rabbah and Rav Yosef should have been chosen to be the Rosh Yeshiva, lo kobil Rav Yosef olei. Rav Yosef refused to accept upon himself the position. Molach Rabbah esrin v'tartin shonin. Rabbah assumed authority for 22 years. V'hodar molach Rav Yosef. And after that, after Rabbah died, Rav Yosef then took over. V'chol shani de molach Rabbah, and all the years that Rabbah was in his position of authority, Rav Yosef, afilu umno lebeisei lo cholif. Rav Yosef, even an umno is a blood letter, he wouldn't accept, let's say, house visits from him. If the this idea of accepting house visits would be as follows. He who was an important official, so people would come to their homes to offer services. But being that Rav Yosef, even though he was more worthy of this lofty office, he didn't accept any trappings of authority, even to the extent that the umna wouldn't come to his house. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Umna lebeisei lo kora shelo rotza linhog sroro ba'atzmo kol oisen hashonim shemolach Rabbah. Rav Yosef didn't want to exhibit any signs of authority all the years that Rabbah had assumed the position. Afilu b'hai sarusa, even regarding this demonstration of authority, shelo rotza lahavi shum uman besoch beiso. He wouldn't want to bring any uman to his house. El shu rotze lahokizdam, if he needed this medical treatment, hoyaha uman ol lebeisei de Rabbah, the uman would go to Rabbah's house. And v'sham hoyamekis, and apparently Rav Yosef would go over there to have his treatment. Continuing in the Gemara, Abaye v'rova v'rabizero v'rabo bar matona. You have four rabbonim, havu yasvi. They were seated. They were seated together. Havu tzrichi reisha, and they needed to have a rosh yeshiva appointed. Amri. So they said, "Kol de Omar milsa v'lo mafrich levei reisha." Any one of us who can say something and it not be rejected or questioned, he will be the one suitable to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Tekulu ifrich, each one said something, and whatever they said was questioned and was rejected. However, da Abaye lo ifrich, that which Abaye said stood and was not rescinded. Chazye rovo la Abaye degovo reisha. At this point, Rova sees that Abaye is the one who deserves to rise to position of leadership. Omale, so Rabbah said, Nachmeni psach v'emo. Nachmeni is a nickname given to Abaye, and he said, "You open and speak." In other words, you now are to be the leader and one to say to deliver the public drushes, which was characteristic of he who was the Rosh Yeshiva. Rashi says here that Nachmeni posach the emor drasha, you say the public lecture, the mishmayo poskulei rabusa, that from heaven it's been decided that you should be the leader. Ibayaloho, a question is raised, Rebbe Zera v'rabo barantona, hey minayu odif, between these two rabbis, each one having their special characteristics, which is considered better or deserving of precedence. Rabbi Zera Chorofu Makshe. Rabbi Zera was characterized as being someone who was very incisive and capable of asking sharp questions. Rabbo Bar Matona Mosun Umasik. Rabbo Bar Matona was, however, not as sharp, but he, when thinking over something, he would dwell on a matter analyze it thoroughly, and then and only afterwards offer a ruling. My, so of these two characteristics, Chorf u'Makshe versus Mosin u'Masik, which is Odif, Teku, this remains unresolved. It may be pointed out that in the group of Rabbonim that were seated together before Abaye and Rova, Rabbi Zera and Rabbo Bar Matana, one ought to look in Maseches Chulin Daf Ayin Zayin Omen Aleph, where a question that was posed actually to Abaye, and he found the question there very difficult to answer, and the question eventually was sent to Rava, who answered the question. And it's interesting to note that Rava is portrayed over there in Chulin Daf Ayin Zayin Omen Aleph as Charef Sakina, someone who's being characterized as being very sharp and incisive, and he was the one that was able to answer the question posed over there in Maseches Chulin. With that, we complete Maseches Horias and our Shiur for today.